be talking. They were going to be talking to Thunder Over the Valley. The big air show is coming to Santa Maria this weekend. We're going to find out.
Now, here's Bill Benica.
Hey, it's very good. Let me tell you right now that I want to say hello and happy Tuesday. Happy Tuesday. Except for the fact that Dodgers lost the Giants last night. It's still a happy day. I hope yours is too. I'm Bill Duncan. This is 1340 KYNS Talk of Sheep in the San Luis Obispo. That was a weird story. They had the very end of the news. You know? Vegas Casino. The Vegas Casino? Anyway, when they ordered these cards, they're supposed to be shuffled, but they weren't. So they, you know what a shuffled deck of cards looks like. Everything's right next to each other. So anyway, so they had to dole out $1.5 million. And the lawyers were saying, you've got to pay it because it's your fault. And you did it. You did it, which I would have to agree with, really, to tell you the truth. Anyway, but now they're going to sue the card company for not having the cards shuffled like they're supposed to be. And, maybe the shuffler was out that day working on his deck.
What's puzzling you, Ethelbert? One of those quizzes. And it says here, what are these men famous for? Sidney Porter, Samuel Clemens, Charles Dutch.
Well, they're all great authors.
Well, how come I never heard of them?
Well, you would if they printed their pen names. They're O. Henry, Mark Twain, and Lewis Carroll.
Well, I'll be. Those names are famous. Everybody knows them. Mm-hmm.
Like everybody knows Anchor Hawking, the most famous name in glass.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim Lee's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek media mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is the most slow theater with the prices and popcorn of the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul.
Some people are afraid to get an MRI because they think their only option is being put into a narrow tunnel. This is no longer true. San Luis Diagnostic Center just installed a new 3-Tesla ultra-high-field MRI system with an opening that is 40% larger and much shorter than other systems. Now even the most claustrophobic person can have an MRI without concern. It produces crisper, clear images that can diagnose disease far earlier, and scans take half as long. As a diagnostic facility dedicated to outpatient care, San Luis Diagnostic Center strives to make sure your appointments are on time and at your convenience. When your doctor tells you you need an MRI, take control of your health care and call San Luis Diagnostic Center at 542-9700 before someone else chooses for you.
That's
all
right.
Major insurances are accepted.
Exactly. You don't want somebody else choosing for you. You want to go to San Luis Diagnostic. They're the best in town. No question about it. Best in the Central Coast, actually. They may be the best there is. It's quite possible. Anyway, you're with Bill, and we're going to find out about today because we've got to do our who's, it's, our what's, it's, our birthdays, and all of those things, according to what happened to the Tribune on this day in history. And this is what they say. Our highlight news story on August 21st in 1912, the Boy Scouts of America named the first Eagle Scout Arthur Ross Elred of Troop 1 in Rockville Center, New York. On this date in 1609, Galileo demonstrated his new telescope to a group of officials atop the Campanile, is that right, in Venice. 1 year ago, euphoric Libyan rebels raced into Tripoli and took control of the center with little resistance as Muammar Gaddafi's defense collapsed and his four-decade regime appeared to be crumbling. Birthdays today. Born today, former football player Pete Retzlaff is 81. Singer Kenny Rogers is 74. I know he looks 94, but he's 74. Actress Kim Cattrall is 56. And Olympic gold medal sprinter Usain Bolt is 26 today. Happy birthday to them and to you if it's your birthday today. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shushun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
Here's the news. Another action-filled adventure.
And here's what's going on in Calcos News today. Los Osos Daycare Center has been shut down amid allegations of child abuse. Last month, the Early Care and Education Center's director reportedly reported allegations to the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Department. Sheriff's deputies have since referred the case to the Slo County District Attorney's Office for further investigation. On Monday, the classroom at the private daycare center for children from 6 weeks to sixth grade were closed and the playgrounds were empty. The owners rent space at the former Sunnydale School from San Luis Coastal Unified School District. And so that's what's going on with it. And that's all we have at this time as far as information. But we'll get more of that. We'll get more. All right, other news today. Faced with the fast and furious reaction to an earlier decision, the California Department of Motor Vehicles is reexamining its stated intent to issue driver's licenses to young illegal immigrants who become part of the federal government's deportation amnesty. Last week, the agency became the first in the nation to declare its intent to issue those licenses, even as officials of other states announced they would not. But Monday, the DMV issued the following statement. It appears that young people who receive federal referrals will be eligible for California driver's licenses, but it remains uncertain whether clarifying legislation or regulations will be necessary. An estimated 400,000 young people could become eligible for licenses if DMV determines it will issue to them. Advocates on both sides of the controversy have been asking for a solution from California officials. Senator Tim Donnelly of Hesperia said Governor Jerry Brown should come out very clearly and explain why one of his agencies has decided to go rogue and hand out what was once one of the most secure documents in the world.
For years, McClintock's years ago used to post the phony licenses that they confiscated on the wall. There was hundreds of them. It wasn't all that secure, to tell you. But anyway, it sounds good. It's a political thing. It sounds good. And that's what's going on. CalcoastNews.com.
CalcoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
That stuttering, you say to yourself, but what is that stuttering when it does that? I could tell you, but I don't want to. All right, there. Okay. This is, we hear a lot about what students have to go through with school starting coming up here, and the little rascals are over for the day, and they're kind of ready. You know, I think they've summered out. Anyway, but what's interesting is we look at the teenagers and what it takes to try to get into a good school and how much pressure it is. It's huge.
The start of the new school year brings with it the pressure, not just to succeed, but to excel. I'm CNN's Jim Roop. Getting into college gets more competitive every year. According to Forbes, in 2010, Harvard accepted less than 7% of the 30,000-plus high school graduates who applied. Most top universities will accept 20 to 30% of the tens of thousands who apply. To get into one of the top universities, you have to be perfect, because near perfect isn't good enough.
I'm Kevin Mark, and I got a 2390 out of 2400 on my SAT.
Near perfect. 10 points shy. He did get a perfect score in the math section and a perfect score in the science section of the test.
It was the writing section. I got 10 points off my essay.
For what?
I don't know. I've never considered myself a writer, so wasn't quite all the way up there.
He's also an Eagle Scout and volunteers at his church and in his community. So, smart and well-rounded. But it may have been those 10 points in the writing section of the SAT that kept him from being accepted to MIT, his first choice, or Caltech, his second choice. But it's hard to know exactly why he wasn't accepted. He'll be going to UCLA this fall. For years, Kevin pushed himself to excel.
I think I'm my best taskmaster. I sort of keep myself on track.
He says his parents also provide a sufficient amount of pressure. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Lisa Wade, professor of sociology at Occidental College in Los Angeles, President Obama's alma mater, says it's not just the kids who feel the pressure. Parents are under pressure.
We have been increasing pressures on parents, and especially mothers, ever since the end of World War II, to be more actively involved in parenting. And so we call this in sociology intensive parenting. So the parents aren't working for fun necessarily. They need to work to pay bills in today's economy, and they're trying to maximize their own child's well-being. And so it does put a lot of pressure on parents to try to get their kids to the top of their class, for example. And that then in turn puts a lot of pressure on kids.
I'm David Mark. I'm Kevin's proud father.
Maximizing Kevin's well-being, as Wade just suggested, was at the top of the parental priority list for David.
We were reading to Kevin before he was born. We read to Kevin every single night before he was in school, when he was, you know, 2 and 3 years old. Every game we played with him had an educational aspect to it.
To some, that might sound like a lot of pressure to learn at an early age. But David Mark says their intent was to help Kevin like to learn, not just to learn.
It was never that way, because that was kind of pushed on me, and I hated going to school, and I did not like learning, and it didn't click for me till I got to college.
And their strategy worked. Kevin likes to learn. But even with the best of intentions, sometimes, not necessarily in Kevin's case, but sometimes, says Professor Wade, any kind of pressure, especially at an early age, can have negative effects. Because, she says, kids aren't wired for that kind of pressure.
For a child, the fact that you have to go to school right now, and you have to finish eating your breakfast right now, and get your shoes on right now, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And so to them, it can feel like home is like a workplace where everything has to be efficient and rationalized, and children don't often respond very well to that kind of intervention.
She says children will either shut down and hate learning, or they will become obsessed with succeeding but still hate learning. It's just a bad experience all the way around. Then there are those like Kevin Mark, who said he always liked to learn. Still, for him, according to his mother Lorraine, there's not been much reward for all that hard work, like not getting into his first or second choice of college.
It was very hard at times to see him really, he really did want to do the best, and he really did spend a lot of time trying to make himself the best. Like, this is a kid who got a 2390, and this is a kid who was salutatorian, and when it came time for college, there were no merit scholarships, and that was really tough, because here's someone who spent his whole life with academic excellence, and then where was that reward for that? That would have been nice to see.
Occidental Professor Wade says that lack of reward could be damaging to the ego and worse. Kevin seems very well adjusted, but Wade says that level of effort with little or no reward results in college kids who aren't well adjusted.
You get students that have pretty high anxiety coming through college these days. Young people are more concerned with grades these days than before. They may feel a lot of pressure to build up their resume, but not necessarily figure out who they are or spend time doing what they like just because they like it. So, for example, volunteer activities and internships get done, but not necessarily because they want to, because they feel that they have to.
They have to, not just to compete for colleges here in the U.S. or jobs in the U.S., but to compete globally. Technology has forced global competition, yet the U.S. falls far short when it comes to the ability to compete on that scale. The latest trends in international mathematics and science study, done every 4 years by the International Association for the Evaluation of Educational Assessment, has the U.S. in ninth place in math among kids entering high school, and not even in the top 10 in science. Parental pressure, global pressure, and self-imposed pressure. No wonder Wade sees anxiety among college kids. So how do we release the pressure, ease the anxiety, and still help kids excel and compete not just for colleges and jobs, but in the global marketplace? Lisa Wade isn't sure.
This is still something we're trying to figure out.
But at least young Kevin Mark has figured it out for himself.
I'm going to be majoring in aerospace engineering because I'd like to work for NASA or JPL.
So you're a real rocket scientist.
Yes, it's not rocket science. Oh, wait. Yes, it is.
Jim Roop, CNN.
Hey, we're ready to go here because it's, we're going to call 23 minutes after the hour, 12 o'clock right now. And there's no sense in waiting and putting things off. And we have a guest that's here and live and well. And so we're going to get a hold of Grover Cox right now and talk about Thunder Over the Valley that's coming this weekend. And I'm excited about it. I'm going to be attending, I promise. I've been many, many times. I've announced for it. I've been involved in different aspects of that thing. Anyway, Grover, welcome.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here again this year.
This is it. What else? What do you do when you're not doing this interview?
We keep meeting every year like this, don't we?
Do you do anything else? Or you just prepare for this interview?
No, actually, my wife and I have a business. It's called Beach House Wood Designs out of Royal Grande.
Really?
We've had an unfinished furniture store here in St. Louis County since 2002. In 2008, we had to stop and regroup. She got her interior design certification, and I got a real job for a while to pay bills. And we just reopened it, actually, in June, so it's been a busy time for us.
So what's the address? Where is it located?
It's 1200 East Grand Avenue in Royal Grande.
And you can find East Grand. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. We're right next to the slowdown pub there and the car wash. And all. Great place. And just getting fired back up and continuing our passion in life.
Good,
you know,
good
we love
you.
To do real wood furniture. Made in America.
Made America, gang.
Mostly by Americans.
There we go. We're going to guess. We don't know for sure. We'll guess. We'll go with a guess.
Mostly.
Okay. Well, this is Thunder. How long has Thunder Over the Valley done there, Thunder Over the Valley? How many years has this been?
We're celebrating our 25th year this year.
Oh, it's 25th year.
Yeah,
wow.
So 25 years of Thunder Over the Valley. Of course, I don't know if you remember in 2009, we didn't get to do the Thunder because we couldn't do flies. But since then, that's changed. And last year, due to help like yourself and everybody else, it was our largest year. And this year, we expect even bigger.
I'm trying to think back to where I was when I was where I was when I was. And I think that 25 years ago, I might have been at the very first show.
Wouldn't that be some?
I might have been. I'll tell you what the big attraction was that year, to tell you the truth, was they had a flyover of a C5A Galaxy.
Huh.
And, you can't look at this thing and you go, this thing can't fly, for God's sake, let alone fly over. Anyway, but it was so that I think that that was pretty close to around the first year. But anyway, I've been going to this thing forever because I just think it's actually a hoot. And, what they've done is the airport, and you have come up with a system where they can land airplanes and take off airplanes from the Samory Airport and still have this air show. Uh-huh. And that was that the problem that one year you didn't have it?
Yeah. No, the problem that year was that we didn't get into TSA soon enough, so we couldn't get all the clearances. Things changed at that time.
And, yeah.
But matter of fact, we've already started on next year's show, and we haven't even finished this year's yet.
Really?
You have to get that far in advance. You really do. And especially to get the things to happen. Like this year, we're honoring the 100 years of aviation for the Marine Corps.
Oh, cool.
You know, Semper Fi for all you fellow Marines out there.
There you go.
And they're bringing in an MV-22 Osprey for demonstration.
Oh, okay, good.
We'll be able to see it statically. We'll be able to see it how it works and manipulates. It's going to be a great thing. It's never had a demonstration on the West Coast yet.
The Osprey hasn't at all?
Not in public demonstration.
Really? Because so they finally found one that works.
Yeah, I think so. Well, we found two, we hope, because they're going to be here Friday. But we have a Hellcat and a Zero going to battle out and reenact the Battle of Guadalcanal. They're going to do a reenactment of the battle. And we've got some Spitfires coming in. Of course, P-51's coming this year, too. So we're really
That's really forward. Neat. That's really
we're
neat.
Really, Super Steerman will be here.
And then we should let people know there's static. Well, there's vendors. There's food and beer and all that kind of stuff. And there's vendors that hawk different wares.
Right.
One of the ones I was very impressed with for the price that they were charging when I've seen what they get for the same thing on the Internet are the people that make the wooden models of different aircraft.
Correct.
And they... And again, I could not believe how reasonable their prices were compared to what I've seen them for that were not any nicer, It was amazing to me. So the other thing, we have static displays. So what are we going to have as static displays as far as aircraft?
Well, we're going to have quite a bit coming in. We've got some T-6s, of course, as usual, T-34s and T-28s. These are all World War II military aircraft. We also have an E-2C coming in, as usual. At least one, but I believe now we have two F-18s that'll be flying in, and we're trying to work it out for some flyovers during the show if we can. And, of course, the C-130 will be there also, which I don't know how that thing gets off the ground.
Now, so do we have helicopter?
We will have a helicopter or two there, yes, sir.
All right, that's going to be fun. So, yeah. And what's really great is if you have young kids, middle-aged kids, whatever you may have, they just go ape over this, especially the static displays, to be able to actually get on a helicopter and see what it looks like inside. They just think that's the cat's pajamas. And it is when you're a little kid, I think.
It is, too, and the military people are always there standing by their planes and prepared to answer any questions. They've always been very helpful, and they really get into kids coming by and asking questions. You know, they're our future leaders. They need to know all about these things, you know.
Not only that, you know, they also they have a chance to ogle some of the young ladies that are at the show. So I was in the service. I know what's about.
Yeah, you know where we're going. Friday's going to be a real big day at the airport. We've got, you know, I always tell people, they say, what's the best day to be there? I says, well, they all have to get there by Friday. We do have some actually coming in today, a little few tomorrow, and then Thursday, but the majority will be flying in Friday, and we're going to have a little practice runs down there, too, so it's not a bad time just if you're in the Santa Maria area to stick your head in over there and see what's going on. And then Friday night, we'll be having a meet-and-greet dinner at the museum itself. The public's invited. Come in and have dinner, meet the military and all the military and non-military pilots and see what's going on.
There's a lot going on, too. Now, this is have you had a program like this before?
We started that about 2 years ago.
I was going to say, because I was saying to Grover, when I did the announcing for the air show 1 year, we'd had no program, and I had no idea what was next. So luckily I had a runner that was a friend of mine that was with me that could go find out what was going to happen next. Anyway, but this is a really, really, really nice program. Very extensive and has a lot of great stuff in it, a lot of great pictures and photos, and tells you everything that's going to happen and who's going to do it and all that. This is very, very nice. I'm impressed.
And it has a full schedule on the very back.
Yeah, the full schedule on the back.
Let you know exactly what's happening and where we're going.
Matter of fact, when I announced for this, they put me up at the Holiday Inn.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, it was nice.
And you know what? The Holiday Inn down at the Santa Maria has, I was involved with them in 2009 when I got them to be our major sponsor.
Right.
And they reduced the price of their room by over $45 of what we were paying at another hotel.
Really?
Just to accommodate us in the military. And they give us a year-round rate. They're very kind. The military comes in there. They put them in suites with kitchens, and they just treat them. All of our military people say, do we get to stay at the Holiday Inn again? I mean, it's really a nice thing, and they do a great job for us. We even brought in Amway. It's going to be one of our big sponsors now. They're coming in. They're going to give away a huge $500 gift basket at the air show and be a part of it. We're getting more and more. I think we'll be involved with more and more national sponsors as it goes along.
So this, I'm realizing something here as I'm looking at this. It's basically 10 o'clock to 4, right?
10 to 4 is the air show, yes.
Okay,
sir.
Both days.
Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday, okay. So there'll be an opening ceremony, there'll be music, there'll be a pledge to the flag, there'll be all that good stuff. Probably have a color guard.
We do have an honor guard. We honor our fallen soldiers.
Good.
And even the old vets like you and I will be asked to come out.
I'll be there.
Okay.
I'll be there.
Well, I hope you'll join me for a few
moments. I'll see if I can find a hat or something somewhere. I can't imagine what it must be like to put this together. I mean, it's a phenomenal undertaking.
Well, it's easy for all of us but Mike Gedry. He's our CEO and director, and, I mean, he just carries the whole weight on his shoulders and distributes things for us and says, Grover, you handle this end, and you handle this end, and Dave, you handle this end, and and everybody does a fair share, but Mike pretty much maintains the whole weight right on his shoulders. And believe you me, I saw him yesterday. He's really stressed. But
it's
a big production. Like I said, we're already starting next year, and we haven't finished this year yet.
Once the air show starts, you'll be able to find Mike in the beer tent. He's,
either that or pulling his hair out over what I'm saying.
Pulling the hair out in the beer tent. You know, okay, fine. Because I know, it was a huge job, and I met with Mike about a week before we did the show, and then I met him the night before we did the show, and it was like, boy, what a lot of work. Mike Edry, by the way, a Vietnam vet, and just does a great job for the museum in Santa
Maria.
Sure does.
Three tours Vietnam.
Yeah, they're killers amongst us. I was going to ask you this. Let's talk about the museum a little bit. And it's called the Santa Maria Museum
of Flight.
Right. And so it's, how do we say this? It's across the field, so to speak, from where the action is that we're going to be participating in. What road do you take to get to the museum?
To get to the museum, you would take Skyway Drive
off
of Bedarabia, and you'll see a little blue sign that shows the museum because we're actually north of the airport,
about two
or three blocks.
Yeah.
To get to the show, you go down to Foster Road and go in the back side of the airport for the show.
Right.
But the Museum of Flight, it's just north of the museum there. We've got two large buildings. The first building where you enter in is actually the old building from Rocket Man, the Rocketeer.
Rocketeer, yeah.
And that's why we call our catering service the Rocketeer Cafe. And
by the way, I went on the internet. But you can go to let me do it again. Santa Maria Museum of Flight. So it's smmof.org, and you can go on the internet, which I did yesterday. And I had no idea that there was an outfit that catered down there. And so I thought it was knowing something about catering. I thought it was a very reasonable price. It's $25 for a whole chicken type dinner per person, and it's $30 per person for a tri-tip dinner, and that includes all the fixings and everything, and drinks and everything. So it's if you know about catering, that's a very nice price. That's
very
a good
cheap.
Price. That's a good price point, really. So anyway, that's cool.
We do Christmas parties. We do retirement parties. We've even done weddings over there and receptions. So you never know. We always got the old planes there as a backdrop, and it works out really well.
Tell us some of the planes that are in the museum.
Got a Russian MiG.
Mm-hmm.
We've got T-28.
Did somebody deliver that to us and ask for asylum, or how'd that work?
It was a private-owned owned one, and it's been donated to be visiting. One thing that we also have is a replica of the Wright Brothers plane in our rafters, too.
Oh, that's neat. That's really neat.
And then we have a small model of it that's actually using the material from the original plane to build the...
Really?
To build the model. There's all kinds of models in there. The museum's designed to preserve the history of Allen Hancock College. You know, a lot of people don't realize that that was an air base in World War II that was used for training pilots. And they trained P-51 pilots out of there. Well, we've got pictures of them
where they crashed
into dry cleanings on Main Street because they didn't know how to fly. And a lot of people don't realize that. We've got a complete library where kids can come in and learn about it and do history reports and check out all the books and the videos that we do have and everything that's there. It's all there. We give tours.
You know, that learning how to fly a P-51 and maybe having problems, I was on aircraft carrier for a year, and we did what's called carrier qualifications. You'd go out for 3 weeks, and the guys who had been trained as Navy flyers but had yet to land on aircraft carrier, that was their first try. And, boy, was that hair-raising. Luckily, I was at a gunner's mate, so I was in the gun mount that was, you know, eye level with a flight deck. And so we weren't supposed to be in there, but we got in there. We had bubbles, you know, we could look out. It was absolutely absurd. It was insane to watch these people careen off the deck and crash in the water and do all this stuff and eject and everything. I mean, I don't think the public realizes to get a guy to be able to land on an aircraft carrier, you go through a bunch of millions of dollars of airplanes to get the guy so he can do it. It's pretty amazing. Anyway.
That's called training.
That's training. I tell you, I don't know how they would do it in a million years. Matter of fact, I was I was supposed to go on leave one, and we happened to be out at sea. And they said, well, there was a little prop plane called a COD, and it was like the messenger plane. And they said, well, we'll fly off the deck, and you can just fly in the COD. I said, no, I'll wait till we pull into port. I don't need that. I'm going to be thrown off the front of the ship.
I'll wait.
Well, the jets, you know, the jets get chucked off, and they got the afterburners, and they got some go to them. You know, that little COD just revs up as hard as it can, and then it really drops down. After it gets off the catapult, it really drops down. But that doesn't go in the water, luckily. But, you know, it was amazing how far it drops down before it goes up again. Very interesting. Anyway, so this is, I think you guys, I think people would get a huge kick out of visiting the museum because it's very worthwhile and a very nice museum, and there's lots of great stuff in there.
I've invited a few groups down through the past year to come in and visit, bring Cub Scout crew
sure.
down one, talk to Greg, who owns Doc Bernstein's Ice Cream. I knew he was involved with Cub Scouts. I said, bring the boys down and let's sure. take them through the museum. We'll do it for you gratis
cool.
for the Boy Scouts.
Cool.
Those kids, there were 17 of them came in that day, and we had docents there to take them through and explain everything, and they darn near wiped us out of our little models and stuff at the store there, which was great. That was good, too. But right. every child went out of there, even the adults went out of there just shaking their head and amazed.
Yeah,
it's
a
great
it's,
thing.
No, it's a really, I have to tell you what, it's like one of these things, it's one of the one of those best-kept secret things. I hate to use that term. I hate that term more than any term in the whole wide world. But I don't think enough people do know about it, and it's really, if you don't have time to fly to Washington and go through the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum, you should go down to Santa Maria because you're going to get a good taste of that. And yeah. and it really is a very nice air museum. I mean, it's surprising. I'm going to use that term. When I saw it, I was surprised at how nice it was. So, and that was many years ago. You know, so it's really worthwhile. Now, this air show, once again, is this Saturday and Sunday. It's from 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And you can buy tickets and get in, and don't forget there's refreshments. There's a
Budweiser beer garden.
Budweiser beer garden. There's the
my favorite part of the show.
There you are. It's well, you have to when you're a serviceman, you have to toast each other. That's why.
Yes, that's true.
A lot of toasting goes on because you have to toast everybody that you ever know in the service. So let me tell you some of the opening ceremony. They're going to have a patriotic music parade with the Armed Forces salute, and we remember Michael. A welcome introduction will be Michael T. Mike Getty. Who's the CEO of the event. Bugle call to colors, posting the colors, United States and Canada's national anthem. Opening prayer will be from Fred Morgan, who's the chaplain, from Civil Air Patrol Squadron 101, guest speaker Alice Patino. And who's Alice Patino?
City Council,
oh, okay.
Santa Maria.
I guess I should know that, and I did. I'm sorry. Have a rifle salute, taps. Is this at the end? Is this also all in the front and the beginning?
That's at the beginning,
okay.
And we play taps for our fallen soldiers.
Okay, I got you. Good. Amazing Grace on the bagpipes, then a flyby, and then Semper Fidelis March, and God Bless the USA by Diane Heath's going to sing that. Great song. Absolutely great song.
Yeah. We do all that at the beginning to honor those, like your T-shirt says, to those who gave all.
Yeah, really. Anyway, that's really cool. It's so much fun to see, and you have there's aerobatics that they do, you know. And if you've never watched an aerobatic demonstration, how do I say this? It's very orchestrated. It's done a certain way, and certain positions have to be held in the airplane. You know, it goes from on its edge to its upside down to its next edge and back over and loops and all these things. But they all have to be done. If you're being judged by it, I mean, it's critical how perfect you have to be, and it's amazing how if you watch it, I mean, I watch it, and let's say the guy, I couldn't tell the guy's perfect or not. It looks perfect to me.
It looks awesome to me.
Perfectly fine as far as I'm concerned. So that's really quite funny. But anyway, so there's just a whole lot of great things going on. This is interesting. Briefing room provided by the Cessna Pilots Association, which I didn't know there was such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What do they say about Cessnas? The great thing about Cessnas is that you're always the first one at the crash site. Something like that. Anyway, this is a lot of great sponsors, which is very nice that you got those guys and the people to help put this thing on. Again, this program is really very nice, and the show's going to be absolutely super. And I really encourage you to, and especially if you have kids or grandkids or nieces, nephews, whatever you have, I really encourage you to take them and show them what's going on down there because it's just a thrill.
I know last year we had that, we honored the Navy, and they sent out that A-10 demo team.
Mm-hmm.
it blew the crowd away with what he could do with that A-10. And yet all the pilots would gather up and talk to kids. My granddaughter was only 4 years old at the time, went out there and got to talk to pilots, and she still remembers. She still talks about it, you know.
You know what's in, now you've just taught me something. I didn't know the Navy flew A-10s. Mm-hmm. Really?
That's what I had.
Well, okay then. There they are. Navy's involved in too many things, I'll tell you.
Well, you know, you never know what they're going to do next,
That's
do we?
Right. Those darn swab jocks. Anyway, this is going to be a real nice time, and don't forget, it's 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Tell me the road again. You take the name of the road?
You go out, go south on Broadway till you get to Foster Road. Turn west, and it dead ends. There'll be banners that'll direct you right into it.
Cool. And there's lots of parking, so you don't have to worry about that.
You don't have to worry about parking.
There's people
there
that help you
parking.
Park, yeah.
It's all free with your ticket. Just come in and park and get out there and enjoy. We've got a lot of vendors there. A lot of planes to see. If you get there at 10, you'll be busy for 6 hours looking and watching and having fun.
Really, it's really fun. Grover, I thank you very much for our annual our get-together, and we get the chance to talk about this wonderful thing. And in your honor as a Marine, I think if this comes up like it's supposed to come up, I'm going to have something special for you. Thanks for coming in today.
Oh, man, I'll tell you one. I do feel special, you know.
Here you go. All right, we'll see what
I think Mike put the programs together because I am a Marine. He knew I definitely need direction.
There you go. That's not what I want.
Well, I'm sure.
Wait a minute. Let me just give you a second here. Songs of the Marines. I thought it was called the Marine Hymn.
If you listen to our commercial that's running on your station, you'll hear that Marine Corps hymn in the background.
I know, but what I'm wondering is I thought this was called the Marine Hymn.
I had control.
All right, here we go. Let me try again. Let's try this.
From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, we fight our country's battles in the air, on land and sea. First to fight for right and freedom, and to keep our honor clean, we are proud to
Dutchman Seafood House on the Morro Bay Embarcadero has been totally remodeled. There's a new look throughout the restaurant, including a great bar area with plenty of room for you to hang. What I like the best is what the Dutchman's new Fargo Table Chef has created, a new menu that features fresh seafood. It starts with hand-selected fish delivered right to our dock and served within hours of being pulled from the ocean. It's the only way to eat. At Dutchman Seafood House, you'll enjoy waterfront dining, creative cocktails, a nice selection of reasonably priced wines, and a tempting variety of entrees featuring seafood, poultry, beef, salads, and award-winning clam chowder that's guaranteed to satisfy your hunger. When you walk in the Dutchman, you'll find an inviting bar where weekdays we offer special happy hour pricing from 3 to 6. Formerly known as the Flying Dutchman, you'll find the newly remodeled Dutchman Seafood House on the Morro Bay waterfront near Pacific Street at 701 Embarcadero.
How do I know if a noise is dangerous? As a general rule, noise may damage your hearing if, for instance, you have to shout over background noise to make yourself heard. The damage from too loud of noise makes your ears ring or causes you to have decreased or muffled hearing for several hours after exposure, or if the noise is painful to the ears. Cotton balls or tissue do not protect your hearing. Noise-induced hearing loss typically occurs slowly over a period of time and is painless. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Karen Scott Hearing Aids and Audiology.
Carl Benz patented the first automobile over 125 years ago. 5 years ago, in 2006, Star Automotive opened to provide dealership-level, independent Mercedes-Benz services to San Luis Obispo County. Hi, this is Brian from Star Automotive. We would like to thank over 1,000 Mercedes owners who have trusted us with their vehicles. If you haven't yet, we would love the opportunity to serve you. You can learn more about us at starautomotive.com or give us a call at 543-STAR. We'll keep the smile on your face and the Star on your car.
All Me with Louis Armstrong, what we're going to do today. And that's not everyone's supposed to play, but it played, so that's okay. I'll go whatever works. That's how I like it. You're with Bill Talkers, Chief Friends and Neighbors Network. Thanks for joining me today. It's Tuesday, and it's a little bit warmer, I think, than we expected today. I thought yesterday was the last kind of hot day we're going to have for a while, and then we're going to have, over here by the airport anyway, we're going to have temps in the 70s, but I think it probably went higher than that today. It was pretty warm. Okay. Other things are going on. I have a report here to share with you. Let me find it here. Well, this has to do with Todd Akin and the remarks that he made.
CNN.
Radio.
I'm CNN's Emma Lacey Bordeaux, and here in the United States, political campaigns can turn on a dime. Just ask GOP Senate hopeful and Missouri Congressman Todd Aiken.
What about in the case of rape? Should it be legal or not?
Well, you know, people always want to try and make that as one of those things. Well, how do you slice this particularly tough sort of ethical question? It seems to me, first of all, from what I understand from doctors, that's really rare. If it's a legitimate rape, the female body has ways to try to shut that whole thing down.
After that exchange on the question of abortion in the case of rape aired on KTVI, Aiken faced a flood of criticism. Fellow Republicans, including presidential candidate Mitt Romney, have distanced themselves. And Aiken, for his part, has apologized twice.
Rape is never legitimate. It's an evil act. It's committed by violent predators. I used the wrong words in the wrong way. What I said was ill-conceived, and it was wrong.
That was on WRGA AM, where Aiken also told host Mike Huckabee that he knows people do become pregnant from rape. Well, despite these apologies, Aiken's initial statements on rape specifically have echoes far beyond his Senate campaign and even beyond the United States, according to Lauren Wolf.
I think it was ignorance, but it was actually harmful ignorance, because people start to believe lies like that, as he clearly seemed to.
Wolf works for a project called Women Under Siege that collects and catalogs stories of rape in war zones. And when she heard about Aiken's comments, Wolf's mind went to those places and to the women whose stories she's trying to share.
I thought immediately of the women that I've read about in Rwanda who were impregnated during the genocide. There were hundreds of thousands of women estimated to have been raped in about 100 days. Thousands of them were forced then to bear the children of their rapists.
According to Wolf, that's one way rape is used as a tool of war, where forced pregnancy is actually the goal.
The many, many women in Bosnia who were raped with the intention of actually forcing them to bear children of the enemy. You know, that's one of the things we're studying, is how, you know, genocide actually uses rape as a means of changing the face of the next generation.
But no matter the purpose of rape, Wolf's project seeks to gather these stories so that further violence can be prevented. Something that's hard to do, she says, because victims often face obstacles to telling their stories.
You have to understand how hard it is for women to speak out, and for men. You know, anyone who's experienced sexualized violence, there's a tremendous amount of shame and stigma attached.
And Wolf sees Aiken's remarks as adding to this difficult climate.
Casting doubt on these stories, or putting them in categories such as legitimate and not legitimate, or saying that their body should have taken care of an act of violence, the body should have rejected it, is incredibly harmful. You know, we're doing everything we can to try to get these stories told, so we can learn from them, so that we can stop this. And anything that sets that back is really very painful.
Despite that, Wolf hopes that these comments and the uproar surrounding them will actually lead to a positive outcome.
By getting a chance to put such misconceptions in the spotlight, we actually have the chance to refute it and educate people who don't know. I almost welcome this as a chance to set things straight.
And a chance, she hopes, to continue collecting stories, like those coming out of Syria right now. Stories that may help future generations escape the terrible trauma of rape in war zones. Emma Lacey Bordeaux, CNN.
The interesting thing is, this guy Aiken, you know, his apologies seem very sincere, but the thing is that he still apparently believes that, I don't know, and there was this one doctor, in case you've read the story, there's one doctor who a number of years ago claimed that women can somehow control whether or not they get pregnant if they're raped, and he's the only guy that ever said so, and everybody thinks he's a nut job, and he still claims that that's the case. But as I mentioned yesterday, but just, you know, all I had to do is Google it. You know, if you have 32,000 rapes that lead to a pregnancy, I mean, how hideous is that? I mean, 32,000. I didn't even look at how many rapes there. I don't want to know after that. 32,000 end in pregnancy. Now, they have, I mean, if this guy Aiken, I mean, if he wants to go the whole hog on this, they had a story about a woman who was one of an Arab woman, and she was a Muslim. And so she was raped. She was forced to marry the man who raped her because she was pregnant. So she was forced to marry the man who raped her. He beat her until she finally killed herself. It can get pathetic. All right. Other things going on in our world today. Speaking of pathetic, Social Security surplus is shrinking. Do you think? Really? I mean, after everybody's taken a chunk out of it, you think it's shrinking? I would think so. So that's what they're saying. It's definitely going. To me, it doesn't begin to describe. Urgent doesn't begin to describe it, said Chuck Ballhouse, one of the public trustees who oversees Social Security. I would say we're somewhere between critical and too late to deal with it. So it's... And we do. We wait till the last minute. You know, we didn't start out that way with Social Security at all. You know, we said, okay, where's a system that we're gonna, you know, have a trust fund, and it's gonna prosper and work. And for the longest time, it did. It's a great picture on the front page of the Tribune today, and then the KSBY had a good story on it yesterday because the humpback whales are in Avila Harbor. And I mentioned when we went there on the weekend and saw all these humongous number of birds, and we never saw a whale. But I don't think I was looking out far enough as well, because we weren't really thinking we were going to see a whale, to tell you the truth. But anyway, I guess the place is being packed these days to have people go down and look. And what they ask boaters to do is, I'm not sure I understand this exactly, because you don't know where a whale's going to breach. They say you should stay at least 100 feet away from them. Well, if you're in your kayak and you're paddling around and all of a sudden a whale breaches next to you, which it happened to do to this lady they interviewed on TV yesterday, if the whale happens to breach right next to you, how you didn't know it was going to do that. I mean, you didn't expect it to be that far in the harbor, because it's not like they all stay in one, like a highway out there, and they just travel in one place. They're all over the place going after these bait balls, they call them. So it's a... You think the fish would get smarter, though, and kind of spread out, you know what I mean? But, you know, fish, they're what they are. That's why people can catch them. Okay. The seismic study for PG&E near Diablo Canyon clears a key hurdle, but a month is shaved off the timetable. That was with the State Lands Commission. Now, I don't know how many people are involved in all this thing, but... They've decided it should be a month less. They'll survey two of the three segments, but might have to return and finish work on the last segment in 2013, said a PGE director of nuclear projects. So I don't understand that exactly, but then you have, if you have as many government entities that are involved with Diablo Canyon as you would have. You know, you'd have to expect all kinds of funny hoops and everything. And, you know, and it's weird, because in the best interest of the citizens of this county and Santa Barbara County, you would think that they'd say, okay, we thoroughly want to test this. We want to find out what we can find out. Not to say, well, you can only do it this long. Just do this much of it and then go back and do it again. Doesn't make sense to me, but. I'm not a government entity, so lots of things probably don't make sense to me. Okay. Lots of wonderful tributes to the late Phyllis Diller yesterday and last night on the television, and all kinds of people. And Rosie O'Donnell had a massive heart attack. I mean, her aorta or whatever was 99% blocked. So they an artery was 99% blocked and a stent was inserted. So she's we'll see if she's still as feisty as she always was. Maybe she'll calm down.
Monday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race for you. These days are happy. These days are share them with me. These happy days are yours.
Karen Scott Audiology, now at her new location, 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320 in San Luis Obispo, next to the DMV. Dr. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast and the community for over 30 years. What's important to remember is that hearing loss can occur at any age, from newborns to your grandparents. Let's stop the stigma of having to wear hearing aids. With today's technology, new sleek hearing aids are available. Karen Scott carries Starkey, Phonic, Widex, just to name a few. They have the knowledge and the experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs. They also offer clinical audiology as well as industrial screenings. Call her for your free consultation. Call 541-1790. When was the last time you had yours or your child's hearing checked? How about that teen that listens to that loud music or that's not doing so well in school? They could be suffering from hearing loss. Karen Scott Audiology. Call 541-1790 because hearing really matters.
You know, Dad, I just keep thinking about how little rainfall we've gotten this season, and I know we're right on the edge of drought conditions.
You're right, Kelly. That's why at Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, we emphasize the importance of water conservation by featuring environmentally friendly products.
The store has an unbelievable selection of shower heads that offer everything from needle jet sprays to soft, soothing raindrops. And let me guess, the shower heads can reduce water usage.
You got it.
So that's why we're letting people know that the store is the low-flow toilet specialist in Slo County.
Yep, our low-flow toilets can save folks 25% on their water bill. But that's just part of the story, Kelly.
Are you going to tell them the other part of the story about when you got stuck under the kitchen sink trying to install a low-flow faucet?
Kelly.
Dad.
Kelly.
Dad.
For the finest selection of environmentally friendly premium kitchen and bath fixtures, shop at Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, behind Trader Joe's, San Luis Obispo.
Talk is cheap with Bill Benica.
Thank you.
Satchmo Lunderibio right there, Bill Benica.
Hi.
You're with Bill. This is Talk is Cheap, Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS in San Luis Obispo, your news station. Let me tell you what's going on with Charter, because I got the big bundling thing happening, and this is cool. You get, for $29.95, you get three separate deals for $29.95 for the first year. You get 100 HD channels, and you can, with Apple and Android apps, you can view TV content on your devices anywhere. There's a Wi-Fi connection. Charter has over 10,000 video on demand titles, many in 3D. And so that's just super. Now, when it comes to your internet, Charter was named the nation's fastest internet by PC Magazine. Charter Internet has the powerful upload and download speeds, enough bandwidth to support all of your family's devices. And so you got to get involved with this Charter thing. It's what a difference it makes when you're looking stuff up. I mean, it really is huge. And downloading speeds are insane. So if you like to download movies and music and stuff, I'm telling you. Then you can get reliable phone service with unlimited local and long distance with Charter Phone. So don't wait. Call now. Get the best TV, internet, and phone with a Charter triple play for only $29.99, each one bundled. All you have to do is call 1-855-75-SWITCH. That's 1-855-75-SWITCH. Other terms and restrictions apply. Go to charter.com for details. You don't like it, do you? You like the Charter. It's smarter. I got Charter smarter. I like it. All right. Real? All right. Well, this was an interesting story, I have to tell you the truth. You know, they had that in Grover Beach, they had the community plot, you know, where people could farm and all that. Well, when the redevelopment thing crapped out, they decided the city was going to decide they were going to have to sell that. So a couple by the name of Daryl and Linda Voth decided to buy it. And I don't know if it's, I guess they own it and they're going to let people farm on it. I'm not exactly sure the details, but anyway, so it's at 920 Brighton Avenue. The Voss decided if they wanted to save the garden, they would have to do more, so they decided to buy the thing, and so that's what they've done. Let me see if it tells me, I forgot if I read this or not. After negotiating this price, city officials agreed to sell it for $150,000. The Voss will also pay the closing costs, an estimated $1,700 to $1,800. She said the, Linda said the, land is still in escrow. They've asked the city to fix an irrigation issue. So anyway, the city council approved an unbalanced budget but hoped to reduce a shortfall of more than $300,000. And so anyway, this is the way they have. So, they've taken furloughs. People in Grover government are taking furloughs and stuff. And it's just, you know, these are tough times for a lot of places. Ask Sam Berdue. Anyway, just amazing to me. I have a story here, a report that I thought I'd share. Now, I know what they say when because my son, when he was little, got head lice, you know, from somebody else at school. And so they always say, well, there should be no stigma to this because, you know, anybody can get head lice. I'm talking about the original person that gets the head lice. I'm not sure that I necessarily agree with this throwaway statement that anybody can get head lice. The original person. I think there has to be an environmental circumstance that would lead to such a thing. That's my opinion. But now they have head lice removers. Why not? People. They got people like, you know, a barber. It takes out the lice.
I looked in his hair and saw little white-looking things, and I freaked out.
That's Mom Kirsten Ponick after finding bugs in her 6-year-old son Hanson's hair.
I thought, oh my God, how did my little boy get lice?
I'm CNN's Barbara Hall. It's really hard to know how many people get head lice, but the CDC puts the number somewhere between 6 and 12 million a year. Most are school-age kids. Don Davis is a pediatric dermatologist at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota.
It's an infestation, and it's an annoyance, and it causes a lot of panic and anxiety, but it's not dangerous.
So your kid won't die from head lice, but it is icky. And those little creepy crawlers can spread from one person to another. And that can keep your son or daughter out of school. Linda Davis-Aldrit with the National Association of School Nurses says most school districts have strict rules regarding head lice.
Typically the policies now read that the parents will be notified that the child has, you know, head lice, and that the parents are instructed to utilize an over-the-counter medication to remove the head lice.
That medication is generally a pesticide in shampoo form. After you use it, you still need to remove the lice and their eggs with a fine-tooth comb and follow up with a second chemical treatment a week or so later. Hansen's mom, Kirsten Ponick, just wanted the problem gone.
I thought, there's a lot I can do, but I am not about to take this on.
So she contacted a head lice removal service. 3 years ago, Eileen Fishman opened up a shop called Elimilice in the Atlanta area. Business was so brisk, she opened a second location this spring.
No problem. We'll get you in this morning, Celeste, and I'll just take your phone number.
This shop looks a lot like a hair salon. Technicians in an immaculately clean room use non-toxic products and a special comb to manually remove adult lice and nits, the eggshells, from the hair and scalp.
You do strand-by-strand analysis of the hair, and that means we section the gun, small sections, and we go through in paper-thin strips, and we visually look and make sure that there are no nits.
It's a tedious, labor-intensive process, but when you're done, Fishman says, they'll guarantee you're lice-free and will even give you an all-clear letter for school.
You can literally see people go from crying, and then like a wave of relief.
But the service isn't cheap and can take a while. Pricing starts at $95 for boys with short hair and can run up into the hundreds of dollars. And even though doctors insist head lice are not a sign of bad personal hygiene, many parents, like Kirsten Ponick, still can't stand the thought of blood-sucking insects crawling on their child.
It could have cost $500 and we would have done it because, you know, you got to get them clean.
That distress, even in a down economy, is providing plenty of fodder for the head lice removal industry. New businesses with names like Headhunters, the Texas Lice Squad, and Louse Calls are popping up all over the country. Barbara Hall, CNN.
Why wouldn't you just get that stuff that you're shampoo into your hair and then they all die and go on anyway? Whatever you want to do. You know, you got a lot of money to spend on head lice. I don't know why I have all this music. Thank you, though. It was nice to have the Chinese orchestra in here. Anyway, that's the story of head lice. 20 minutes after the hour, 1 o'clock, you're with Bill. And enough of that because it gives me the heebie-jeebies myself. All right, other things are going on. And there's lots, to tell you the truth. Even though I don't watch it, I don't know why I don't watch it. It's not like I don't think I'd like it. I think I would probably like it. I don't know what I'm watching something else. I don't know. But American Idol, the next judge may be Nicki Minaj, who, by the way, the young girls just adore Nicki Minaj. They just think she's the hot number there. The cat's pajamas. All right. Lon Allen, writing about Atascadero, his headline says it all, opposition won't stop Walmart. And so he's, talking about, and this. I the unfortunate thing about having a small group of people that says, well, we're going to keep at it, you know, we're going to just see if we can be done with it, is that, you know, it has cost the city. You know, they have to hire attorneys and all that kind of stuff and go through it. So this is the real problem. This is the real issue of it. And that's a shame, I guess. And they're not going to stop it. You know, do you imagine they're going to stop it? No, me neither. Then there's this guy here. Talk about a mope. Here's an absence-earned lawyer reprimand. Sanctioned Santa Barbara attorney also called the local judge an embarrassment. Guy's name is Daryl Genis. G-E-N-I-S. Anyway, so sanctioned by Judge Jack Crawford for his failure to appear personally at several readiness conferences. Anyway, he's claimed he was been too busy and had other things to do and all that. Anyway, at one point he called, let me tell you who he called. Here it was. The court went to cite Genis's lack of decorum in his arguments to the appellate panel, which included calling Crawford an embarrassment and saying that he was the epitome of the completely sealed and closed shut mind. A human mind is a lot like a parachute. If it doesn't open, it will get you killed someday, according to what this guy said. Anyway, this guy's, you know, one of these. He's a fly in the ointment. That's what he said he is. But, you know, he's kind of a goofball. What do I do? Hey, this... it's interesting how Cliff Pierce is how he perceives the Madonna Inn and projects like that. And so what he's done is he's brought in horseback riding. He's expanded what's happened with that expo center. Of course, the pool was put in. They have now they're going to have ice skating. It's going to be December 21st through January 6th in the expo center. So it should be comfortable and nice. And they hope to make that an annual event. So I find it fascinating what he's doing. You know, Alex Madonna was, you know, he wanted to go out and build an empire. You know, he was an empire builder. And he was good at it, but, you know, that's what his thing was. So this is interesting that the approach they're taking to Madonna in is really cool. I hope he doesn't say again so that it's different than the other places on the Central Coast, because it's different than other places on the Central Coast. Okay. Oh, maybe if I can remember on Friday when Jim's here, Jim D, he has a great Madonna story that you'd be kind of fascinated with hearing, I think. And I'm not going to say because I'll screw it up. But when Jim's here, I'll try to remember. I know what you're saying to yourself. Bill, you don't remember anything. What are you talking about? I don't know. Oh, here's the scoop on Tony Scott, who did some great movies. Director Tony Scott reportedly had an operable brain cancer, and so that was it, so he decided to kill himself. He did Top Gun, Beverly Hills Cop 2, Man on Fire with Denzel Washington, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. And so, you know, and Dakota Fanning back when she was a youngster. Now she's a young lady. Now here's an interesting story. We're just barely getting the robot we have now kind of working itself out there and doing things. Is that not true? They're just testing the wheels today for the first time. And here it says another robot to take a stab at the red planet. This time they're going to build a lander that is going to get into the crustage of the surface of the moon and get down there some distance. So anyway, the 425 million robotic lander named InSight will be built and operated by JPL. At the California Institute of Technology, the high-flying hotbed of now famous engineers and scientists who designed and assembled the 2.5 billion Curiosity rover and its heart-stopping sky crane, which lowered the Curiosity rover to the surface of Mars. It's exciting. This was, we had that story earlier today about the kid that got, what did he get? He got all but 10 points on his SATs. What is it, 1590? I think it's 1600 is the perfect, right? So he had 1590. And he believes that kept him out of Caltech, out of MIT. And they ask, well, why did it? You know, why did just 10 points do that when your math and science was perfect? And nobody has an answer to that. So this whole college admissions thing is kind of I don't know what it is. It's a crystal ball affair of some kind. But then it has been forever, so it's not new. It's just continues to be alarmingly terrible. That's what I'm saying. A huge wildfire in Northern California, and this is the quote, all we can do is pray. It's like, holy cow. This is these three little towns. It's around three little towns, but there's a lot of people that live there, apparently. They're talking about 3,500 homes are threatened. And this is Manton, Shingletown, and Viola, about 170 miles north of Sacramento. The fire has destroyed 7 homes while blackening 32 square miles. It's just 5% contained. So we're having a terrible time with that fire. Wildfire in Lassen Volcanic National Park was 51% contained in Idaho. Firefighters dug in to defend the town of Featherville against the raging Tiffany Ridge fire that has chewed through 140 square miles in the central region of that state. So it's just really, really something. Now this... I think this is an idea whose time shouldn't have come, because I don't think this is going to amount to a hill of beans, but okay. The Afghans say they're going to spy on their own recruits. All of them? At the same time? Or how are you going to do that? Because what they're trying to do is they're trying to stop, Americans and coalition forces from being killed by the people we're trying to help. So I don't know what I don't know what kind of a spy program they could put in that would actually accomplish anything, but that's what they're saying. And then the Arab Spring uprising, Syria warned not to cross the red line. So the president has basically said, if you use chemical or biological weapons, that's a line you can't cross. You use that and you're going to be attacked. And he's basically issuing that to all the Arab nations. You know, basically saying this and goes for anybody. Remember we just had the Soviet Union, you know, we didn't get along with them. It was a better life and we didn't know it. We just didn't have the faintest idea. Communism wasn't the problem. Something else was. Well, here's this guy. Let me tell you what his name is. This is assertion not new to anti-abortion clinics. Physician who said in 1985 the female body has ways to try to shut down sticks by his claim. And so here one person said, leading experts on reproductive health, however, dismissed this argument. There are no words for this. This is just plain nuts, said Dr. Michael Green of Harvard Medical School. He said he read Wilkes' 1999 article to get and stay pregnant. A woman's body must produce a very sophisticated mix of hormones, which obviously not so, apparently. Just amazing. But he claims that Todd Akin was exactly right. He's the only doctor that does say that. And how in the world? So obviously he must have been familiar with Todd Akin for Todd Akin to come across this thing. Would you not think so? He's a former president of the National Right to Life Committee. It doesn't say where he's from. But anyway, somehow they bumped heads somewhere along the line. And this guy's Todd Akin's head got bumped a little bit too hard, I would seem like.
At Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, we're all about improving your life. When you remodel your kitchen or bath, we want to make sure that you get exactly what you want. A fabulous spa-like bathroom with a walk-in shower, invigorating shower heads, and state-of-the-art faucets. Maybe your dream is a beautiful country farmhouse sink. Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has the fixtures. You have the dreams.
Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
One of the most common places you may encounter noise is at home. Noise-induced hearing loss can occur from prolonged exposure to everyday household items, such as lawn equipment, power tools, toys, MP3 players, stereos, TV sound systems, appliances such as blenders, hand mixers, and food processors, also hair dryers. Listening to these items longer than 30 minutes at loud levels can be dangerous. Have your loved one's hearing checked today. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Karen Scott Hearing Aids and Audiology.
When you buy a previously owned vehicle from Rancho Grande Motors, you can feel confident that your automobile purchase will be covered, whether by a written warranty or something even better. You see, our philosophy at Rancho Grande Motors is no worries. You don't even have to ask, because we always tell you everything we know about our vehicles. Our vehicles are top-notched and fully reconditioned. We take pride in the condition of our previously owned cars and trucks. If something goes wrong with your car or truck, we handle it. And they are all priced competitively on the lot and the internet, so you can shop and compare. Come talk to us at Rancho Grande Motors, where you'll always have a peace of mind when it comes to a used car purchase. We're always here for you. We are Rancho Grande Motors. Go to RanchoGrandeMotors.com or stop by for a visit at 1404 Auto Park Way, San Luis. Rancho Grande Motors, a little hard to find, but always easy to deal with.
did you baby, baby? Oh, when you laughing, babe, when you laughing, the sun comes shining through. But when you crying, you bring on the rain. So stop your sighing. Be happy again and keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, and the whole world smile with you.
Satchmo with Louis Armstrong Day. Hi, you're Bill. It's 25 minutes now before 2 o'clock, and it's a darn nice day on the Central Coast. A little bit hot, a little bit muggy. We've had this muggy thing going on for a couple of days, so that's been kind of strange. A little bit unusual. All right. What else? Well, this is just this is Bill's census information for today. Hispanic set enrollment records for public schools and colleges. The Hispanic population's growth and improved high school completion rates help Latino young people become the largest minority group on college campuses and a quarter of the public school pupils last year, according to a Pew Hispanic report. So I thought I'd tell you that. Now, here's an interesting thing, and this has to do with the military. The military has a thing called the Uniform Code of Military Justice. It's what everybody is under, that umbrella, when you're in the service. And so you don't have the right to appeal to a civilian court if you're found guilty in a court-martial, let's say. And there's, you know, 3 different kinds of court-martials, depending on how bad you were. But anyway, so there's a soldier now who was charged with murder in wartime for killing Iraqis, and so he's got a 20-year stint to do. And anyway, so he's trying to appeal even to the Supreme Court to begin hearing military appeals. But the interesting thing is unless the Supreme Court changes the rules, Hatley's request will have ended. But there was a thing here. There's another court below that refused to even hear the guy. So anyway, so now here's this quote from this guy. For Pete's sake, to not even be able to ask the Supreme Court for review, Eugene Fidel, who teaches military law at Yale Law School, explained in an interview that this is an unfortunate and wrong-minded. Well, how long has he thought that? I haven't heard him speak up before about it. He teaches military law, and military law is everything has to do with the Uniform Code of Military Justice, the UCMJ. We used to tease each other with a quote from the UCMJ, but I'm not going to get into it. Anyway, Federal regulators shut down a California slaughterhouse after receiving undercover video showing a dairy cows, some unable to walk, being repeatedly shocked and shot before being killed. Now, and here's the thing. The Mississippi River is in deep trouble, shallow trouble, not deep. Mississippi River is in shallow trouble. There's all kinds. There's 100, nearly 100 boats and barges are stranded. And they showed a picture of it on the TV, and it was like, holy cow. I mean, this river's just, you know, there's no river because of the drought. Anyway, so what they're going to try to see if they can do is dredge a channel through what's there and possibly get these people unstuck. But imagine the Army Corps of Engineers and how long that plan would take. The Mississippi River will dry up for that. Here is a I haven't heard this before. I haven't listened to it, so I'm kind of fascinated myself. But this is a report. It says, think of this, you're an astronomer and your team have detected for the first time a star being devoured by a supermassive black hole almost 4 billion light years away. It's the first time astronomers had captured this drama happening so long ago and so far away with a black hole this large. So you're the astronomer and your team sees this by scanning, crunching a pile of numbers. Anyway, then, and so here's this thing. It says, the sound of a dying star. I don't know if we're going to hear a dying star, what we're going to hear.
CNN.
Radio.
What is the sound of a star dying, being devoured by a black hole 3.9 billion light years away? I'm CNN's Libby Lewis. So what does that sound like? John Miller can tell you.
I'm a professor of astronomy at the University of Michigan.
His day job is studying black holes.
Both black holes that came about from the death of a massive star and black holes that inhabit the center of massive galaxies. And we're also trying to learn a little bit about general relativity when we do this.
He really wants the rest of us to understand what he and his team have documented for the first time. It's a star being shredded by a supermassive black hole galaxies away from ours.
This particular event came about because a normal star, perhaps about the mass of our sun, perhaps less, wandered too close to the massive black hole in the center of its galaxy. And when that happens in just the right way, the star can sort of get shredded.
Pretty mind-blowing. Miller and his team announced the findings earlier this month.
Yes. And then what happened? Are you going to hear a dying star? What are you going to do here? I love this computer. This is the best. This nobody has a computer as good as mine. This is the best one ever. Okay. Maybe I can find it again. Oh, here it is. Okay. Hi, you're with Bill, talking sheep. You knew that. I was just trying to, you know, I was hoping you thought you were listening to something else for the moment. Okay, here it is again. I'm going to go into about the middle of it and see what happens. I thought I was going to do that. No? I'm not going to do that. Okay, we're passing now. I am done playing with this thing. Thank you very much. Well, there's the sound of a dying star. We never actually heard the sound of the dying star. We don't know exactly what it sounded like, but it went into a black hole, a big old black hole, which I'd like to tell you that I thoroughly understand, but I don't. And so anyway, it was a great story. If we could have had the whole thing. Let me see if there's anything else I should tell you about. The numbers represent the signals captured by NASA's Swift satellite and orbiting telescopes and beamed down to Earth. But how do you get this across to the rest of us? The astronomer we're talking about at John Miller at the University of Michigan, he figured, what if we described what it would sound like? Sound doesn't travel in space, unfortunately, but Star Wars wouldn't have been much of fun things if everything blew up silently, he said. So he and his team translated the frequency of the signals they captured in all those numbers into a sound, and then we're supposed to listen to find out how that went. But I'm trying to find out how it went. It's not working for me, so... Okay. Sometimes things work, and sometimes things don't work. From what I've learned. In this case, it's not. I could try one more time, though. I'm going to try another time. So you can be patient along with me for a second. try them once more. Because I want to hear what it sounds like. I want to hear a dying star. That sounds just fascinating to me, I'm telling you the truth. I'd like to find out how it works. Okay, here we go. Are you loaded? Are you ready to go? Okay, let me see it right here. Here we go again, the sound of a dying star. Does anybody have a used computer that perhaps we could purchase or something? You know, for a reasonable cost. Because apparently they got a problem with the finances here, because that's why we're still using this thing. All right, I'm going to give it the go again.
CNN.
Radio.
What is the sound of a star dying, being devoured by a black hole 3.9 billion light years away? I'm CNN's Libby Lewis. So what does that sound like? John Miller can tell you.
I'm a professor of astronomy at the University of Michigan.
His day job is studying black holes.
Both black holes that came about from the death of a massive star and black holes that inhabit the center of massive galaxies. And we're also trying to learn a little bit about general relativity when we do this.
He really wants the rest of us to understand what he and his team have documented for the first time. It's a star being shredded by a supermassive black hole, galaxies away from ours.
This particular event came about because a normal star, perhaps about the mass of our sun, perhaps less, wandered too close to the massive black hole in the center of its galaxy. And when that happens in just the right way, the star can sort of get shredded.
Pretty mind-blowing. Miller and his team announced the findings earlier this month. How did they figure out something that happened almost 4 billion light years away? They did it because they knew what to do with a whole lot of numbers.
It's data like any sort you might get your hands on. If anyone's looked at, you know, an Excel spreadsheet, for instance, you just have columns of numbers. To start with, it's just like that. And then we run some special software tools on it, and we can do some pretty nifty things with the data.
The numbers represent the signals captured from orbiting telescopes on satellites and then beamed down to Earth. The signals are from the light the telescopes detected, light the astronomers believe is coming from parts of an unlucky star just before it was pulled into the black hole.
What we did in this case was to look at the light that we got from this event as a function of time. So we looked at how it varied with time. And if you imagine a light that's on a rheostat, and you know, it's kids really enjoy going and taking the knob on the rheostat and turning the light up and down and up and down. Essentially, that's what we saw happening in the data. And then we all started to think about what it might be, and it became clear that probably this was maybe the clearest example of a star getting shredded by a massive black hole.
That's pretty exciting to scientists, even if it's a bunch of numbers on a spreadsheet. But how do you take that and bring it alive for the rest of us? John Miller thought, what would it sound like?
Sound doesn't travel in space, unfortunately, but Star Wars wouldn't have been that much fun if things blew up silently, right? So we looked at the period at which the light from this star getting shredded, how that light varied with time, and that frequency. So that we could explain it better, we decided that maybe a music analogy would work.
Miller plays the guitar. He says he's not very good, but he says, think of the note A in the middle of a piano keyboard.
That has a frequency of about 440 hertz. So that means that something is vibrating 440 times per second. Our intensity variation from this black hole was much, much slower. We saw a peak in the wave, if you like, once every 200 seconds. And so the frequency of those light variations would be, we think, something like a D sharp, about 16 octaves off of the middle of the piano keyboard.
We wanted to take a crack at this. Who wouldn't? So we simulated our own version of it.
So a piano wouldn't do the job for you. You'd probably have to get something like a synthesizer.
So we did.
Find the nearest D sharp. And then you step an octave down on the piano keyboard. And then you step another octave down on the piano keyboard. and then another. You'll soon run out of keyboard.
How low can you go?
And so in the best case scenario, you might be able to step down 3 or 4 times across a piano keyboard. And that doesn't really get you down to the frequency that we observed from this black hole.
If we did that, you couldn't hear it because we humans can't hear those frequencies. But imagine if we could. Libby Lewis, CNN.
Imagine if we could. It would sound like this, right?
Oh.
Okay. Well, that was an interesting show right there, I thought. The black hole and the dying star theory right there. Okay, got it right there. How far was it? 3.9 billion light years away. How far does light travel in a year? I forget. Who can remember that kind of stuff? All right. Oh, by the way, I was mentioning Social Security. They had a thing here I forgot to get to, and it has retirement systems compared. So this is what it's like, how Social Security stacks up against public retirement systems in Europe and the United Kingdom. Retirement age when workers can get full benefits in the U.S. is 66, France 65, Germany 67, Greece 65, Italy 66 for men, 62 for women, United Kingdom 68. Share of wages replaced by retirement benefits for the average worker. In the U.S. it's 39%. In France it's 49%. In Germany it's 42%. In Italy it's 65% for men and 51% for women. The United Kingdom is 32%. And you wonder why Greece is having a problem? Do you know what their retirement is? 96% of what a person normally makes. Share of gross domestic product spent on cash benefits in 2007. We spent 4.2% of our gross national product on benefits. France, 12.5%. Germany, 10.7%. Greece, 11.9%. Italy, 14.1%. The United Kingdom, 5.4%. I think those are interesting numbers, but you can see where Greece has a huge problem. You know, if you can let everybody in the world retire and just pay them money that they made, how's that going to work? Paul Krugman actually wrote about Paul Ryan in the negative, but there's interesting things going on with this with these election about, you know, people claiming certain things and what is and what isn't, and you know, if you read enough about it, you sort of go, say what? They had a story here. I'm serious. This was the thing here. Here's what it says. For Romney, dork factor may be in play. That's why I just came across that on the internet. Maybe. I don't know. Dork factor. Okay. Here, a gentleman by the name of Brian wrote an interesting and different kind of a letter about the way to deal with public art, like the mural in Tascadero, is to learn more about art. So you should go to KCET. They have free resources and give one entry into the current of contemporary art. Style is not the issue; vitality is. So that's what you need. This is the problem when we have the public art. You see, we don't really know anything about art, so that's our problem. So we should be learn more about. Perhaps if they were to jump into the boundless world of art with both feet, we could then speak of the once and future Atascadero, born and reborn of the utopian dreams of man. You talking about this tree that's on the side of a building? Are you serious? Okay, fine. Okay, Brian, whatever. All right. And then Peggy Cotin, as an animal rights activist, she's supporting the Green Party candidate and says, you should too. Why wouldn't you? She said the new Green Party lady is Jill Stein, and she's a breath of fresh air. Of course, anybody would have to be, wouldn't they? And then KCBX it basically said, as soon as this guy said, Tom, as soon as KCBX said they weren't going to carry the Board of Supervisors meetings anymore, he sent a $50 donation to him. Guys, who wants to waste their time listening to that crap? That's what he said. Now, today, though, is a very important meeting. You know, today it could be the day that they decide on whether or not there's going to be drilling in the Wasna Valley for oil. So that's on the agenda. We'll see what happens later. Price of the pump, the highest ever for date. So Monday's U.S. average of 372 per gallon, which is God knows where, is slightly above the previous record set in 2008 and far higher than last year's level. So we haven't set a new record. How special those of us that are putting gas in the car feel. Best Buy announced Monday this tapped Hubert Joly, the former head of global hospitality company Carlson and a turnaround expert, as the new CEO and president, because they're trying to figure out how they're going to turn things around, because things aren't going that good for Best Buy. The online competition is severe, and so they're at this point they said, well, we're going to concentrate more on service, like the Geek Squad and all that kind of stuff. But you know, this guy maybe has ideas that he can say, oh, well, here's what we need to do else also. Walmart is going to, because of demand last year, they're going to expand the interest-free pay-over-time program for Christmas. So, you know, the layaway thing, they're going to have more items, and it's going to be and toys and stuff and electronics they had last year. So that, well, you just need to know that right there. Shares of U.S. Airlines gained yesterday following a successful attempt to raise fares to cover the rising cost of fuel, which is about $10 a trip. That has nothing to do with your luggage either, right? Okay, that's just an extra thing they throw in there. Okay, well, that makes sense. Okay, that's good then. That's special. Well, I'm glad you could join me today, by the way, on Talk is Cheap, and I thank my friends and neighbors for being my friends, because that's what friends are for. Smiling, keep shining, knowing you can always count on me. For sure, that's what friends are for. In good times. Smiling, great grinning. Okay, that's what friends are for. Tomorrow is hump day. We're going to do Wednesday together at noon o'clock. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network. Game over. With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.
Another June, another sunny honeymoon, another season, another reason for making whoopee. A lot of shoes, a lot of rice. The groom is nervous. He answers twice. It's really killing that he's so willing to make you whoopee. Now picture a little loveliness down where the roses cling. Picture the same sweet loveliness. Think what a year can bring. Yes, he's washing dishes and baby clothes. He's so ambitious, he even sews. But don't forget, folks, that's what you get, folks, for making whoopee. Another year, maybe less. What's this I hear? Well, can't you guess? She feels neglected, and he's suspected of making whoopee. Yeah, she sits alone most every night. He doesn't phone, he doesn't write. He says he's busy, but she says, is he? He's making whoopee. Now he doesn't make much money, only $5,000 per. Some judge who thinks he's funny says you'll pay $6,000 to her. He says, now, judge, suppose I fail.